Before we start today's podcast, let me tell you about the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West there in Oxford. You know about the plate lunches. Those are $4.99 every single day, two sides of bread, 32-ounce drink. You know about the ribs at night. And remember the stadium cups, whether it's the Pavilion at Ole Miss or Swayze Field. You can go in, you get the stadium cup, refill it every single time for just 49 cents with Blue Sky and the Oxford Exxon. Quench that thirst with Blue Sky there on Highway 6 West. And coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio, 662-257-1900 in Amory, Mississippi, Highway 25 South. You give Corey a call, within 15 minutes, you're going to have a quote. It's going to be a good quote. You can shop it around. You can take it. You're probably going to take it. And when you do, tell them about the podcast, an extra $500 off there with Clark Ford. Now onto the show.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in. But why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
That broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to the Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning, getting going. Had a little call recorder issue. I don't know what happened. We usually have pretty good luck with the software, but not so much this morning. So, a lot to talk about. Ole Miss basketball stays on track for an NCAA tournament berth, beating Missouri by 10 Saturday at the Pavilion. Wins are all that matter now. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It's not a beauty contest for Ole Miss at this point. And then the baseball team splits a two-game series with Wright State. The Sunday game gets rained out after, frankly, Ole Miss should have played a doubleheader on Saturday. There were multiple ways to go about that. They didn't do it. The weather monster got them. Really one of the only teams in the region to not get all three games in, which really kind of emphasizes what could and should have happened there in that situation. So anyway, Ole Miss heads to South Carolina in basketball this week. Huge one there. Potentially the number four overall seed on the line. And then the baseball team, probably going to watch it rain. But if it does not rain, by some miracle of a chance, Arkansas State at home on Tuesday and then at Tulane on the weekend. So plenty to get to. I did not see much of it, Neil, but it looked like Missouri made a couple runs. Plenty of content at rebelgrove.com. We'll kind of point that out as we go along. But they got the win. And as I said a second ago, it really doesn't matter if it was one or 150 at this point.
No, I wrote that on Saturday afternoon that the beauty contest portion of the season is over. It's no longer remotely pertinent. It's all about winning. And I didn't think Ole Miss played their best game, but in many ways I thought that was a good thing. You're not in any sport, but especially sports like basketball and baseball where you play a lot of games, you're just not ever going to have a team that never has a It's not a lackluster effort or whatever, but where they're just not sharp. It's going to happen. You're going to have games that have no flow. That game had no flow. Missouri played a role in that. Ole Miss played a role in that. The officials played a role in that. And Missouri made a couple of runs, but Ole Miss always dominated the game. There was never a point where I thought Ole Miss is going to let this get away. And what I do like about this Ole Miss team here lately is, and I kind of asked Kermit Davis about it afterwards, They play with a little different confidence late in games. They had a couple get away from them, you know, against in Gainesville on a 25-footer that just went in and then didn't execute down the stretch at home against Mississippi State. But they've been in a lot of those games now. And so they closed one out at Auburn the other night. And that was such a big confidence builder for this team. And when Missouri got, I think it was within seven, it was never like, you know, it was never a one or two possession game. But yeah, you know, Ole Miss just kind of went on a, called a timeout, ran a play, scored, got a steal, scored, got another steal, scored, ball game. And they have a little bit of that, I don't know, kind of a taste for blood that. And I wrote about this in 10 Thoughts. 10 Thoughts are up on the site, rebelgrove.com. It is a very heavy basketball-centric Rebel, 10 Weekend Thoughts presented by Harry Alexander. It's seven basketball thoughts, a basketball recruiting thought, the drink of the week, and then links. So if you like basketball, there's a lot there, all college basketball. Six of those thoughts exclusively about Ole Miss basketball, one exclusively about Ole Miss basketball recruiting. I asked him, we talked, I'm jumping around in my thoughts. We talked about a number of things, just sort of this team's confidence level. And I wrote this in 10 thoughts that Kermit Davis wasn't here last year. He was coaching a team that was appeared headed towards the NCAA tournament, maybe towards a pretty good seed in the tournament. He knew that they couldn't stumble because of the league they were in. And they ultimately stumbled in the conference tournament, first quarterfinals, and that cost them. Anyway, he was focused on Middle Tennessee. Maybe he had an eye on Ole Miss. I don't know, but he wasn't focused on it. I was covering Ole Miss. The guys that are on the beat with me were covering Ole Miss. We were covering a train wreck. We were covering a team that had no confidence. It was fair to at least entertain the idea that they had quit. Their attitude was terrible. Their body language was terrible. It was terrible with Kennedy. It was terrible after Kennedy. They went, I think, to Missouri and won, but Missouri sucked. I can't remember where they won a game. But they won one game somewhere, and then they went 1-something down the stretch. It was like 1-10, 1-11 in the last 12. And so when this team went on that slide and lost 5 out of 6 games, I think it was sort of natural for us on the beat, if you step into our shoes for a minute, to kind of start asking some questions about, are you worried about this team spiraling? What's this team's confidence level? That kind of thing. And I won't say he bristled at it, but he kind of bristled at some of those questions. And I think it's because there's a disconnect between what we saw and what he saw. And what he did say consistently, though, at that point was, it's really all about practice. If they show up at practice and they won't be coached and they won't go through physical practices, then yeah, they're spiraling, and I'm you know, and they've lost confidence. But I don't see that happening. And to his credit and that team's credit, I don't think that happened. I mean, I think it came maybe a little closer to happening than people realize. But they closed out Texas A&M really well. They went to Georgia and played a very good game and won. They went to Auburn and played a completely different game, had to slow the game way down because of foul trouble and Blake Henson not being available, and they won. And then they showed up against Missouri, I think, just, you know, weren't – there's no reason to get sky high for the Missouri Tigers on a Saturday. They got it done. They won the game. And as you mentioned, they now go into the final third of the SEC season with 8 conference wins. 2-4 the rest of the way might get them in. 3-3 absolutely will. And they can start thinking about bigger things starting tomorrow night because they play at South Carolina tomorrow night. Gamecocks also 8-4 in the league, tied with Ole Miss, obviously, for 4th in the SEC. And both of those teams have a 2-game lead over a group of teams that are 6-6. It's let's see if I've got it here.
State's in there.
Yeah, State, Auburn, Alabama, and Florida, all 6-6. Arkansas, 5-7. So there's a 2-game separation from that group of 4 right there. And a win in Columbia, and then Ole Miss gets Georgia at home on Saturday. People say, well, you know, is it a must win? No, it's not a must win. It's absolutely not a must win. Carolina's net as of yesterday afternoon was 95. So a loss there stings, but it's a loss there, so it doesn't kill you. They get Georgia at home on Saturday. That's your must-win game this week. Georgia is 128 in the net as of yesterday afternoon. So they're within a point or two of that right now. You can't lose at home a 128 game. So that's the must-win game this week. The focus is going to be on Tuesday because of what you could gain, but the must-win game is Saturday. And if you win Saturday, then you know, it gets interesting because they're going to have to steal one on the road, whether it's at Arkansas, who are spiraling, whether it's at Missouri, who they just saw, or they're going to have to find a way to beat Kentucky or Tennessee at home unless they win Saturday. Tuesday. I think if they win tomorrow and then win Saturday, they're in.
That's it.
I think they're in at that point.
Hypothetically, even losing 4 in a row and then 5 in Nashville, just for the sake of the conversation.
Yeah, because the reason is because the types of losses you would have in that scenario, you would lose to a net 4, a net 6, a net, where's Arkansas? 66. 66.
Yeah.
and a net 89, but the two, the 66 and the 89 would be on the road, so those wouldn't hurt you. The four and losing the Kentucky and Tennessee aren't going to hurt anyone. That would probably get you in. I mean, it'd be if you went and lost on Thursday in Nashville,
you'd be frustrated if nothing else. But yeah, I get it.
It's a stressful weekend, but they're playing like a tournament team. I mean, they are developing as the year's gone on. They're doing the opposite of spiraling. They're developing. They have actually added to their depth a little bit. I think they can count on Rodriguez at least in small spurts. DC Davis, they've always been able to kind of count on him in small spurts, and he's lived up to that. And now this is like four or five games in a row that Bruce Stevens has sort of emerged. He's playing with confidence. Konzo Martin had a great quote about Stevens. Basically compared him to sort of what they had when they had Jontay Porter, which was when you have a big who can step out and make shots and you have to defend it, it completely changes the way that you defend a team, and it completely changes the upside of that team.
Looking at a KenPom this morning, just for the sake of it, they have Ole Miss finishing at 21-10 overall, 11-7 in the SEC. They have them winning Tuesday night in Columbia, South Carolina, giving them a 61% chance of that, giving them an 86% chance of winning at home against Georgia on Saturday, obviously. And then their next best shot after that is they have them winning at Missouri to close the year, 60% chance of winning that one. That is a predicted score of 70-67. What's interesting about this is that they actually have Ole Miss on just the individual game win loss, also beating Arkansas by 1 point in Fayetteville from a metric standpoint. That would put them at 12-8, but they believe that they lose one of those kind of coin flips, even though individually they have them with wins. So they have them at 11-7. For the sake of the conversation, they give them a 36% chance of beating Tennessee at home, and a 35% chance of beating Kentucky at home when the time comes. I'll tell you also, Neil, just kind of look at these numbers. The overall adjusted efficiency is what is maybe the most mind-boggling of all these stats we've seen from Ole Miss this year when compared to last season. Because for most of the year, that offense was elite. I mean, no, fairly elite. It's been elite from a metric standpoint. Defense starting to rise up. It's still not where the offense is, but it's gotten so much better. I'm looking at it here. And adjusted efficiency, which takes into account schedule and who you're playing and everything, it's the best metric for judging each side of the floor. Offensive adjusted efficiency, 29th nationally. Defense, 51 nationally. Almost top 50 in both. And that offense has found a way to stay in the top, 6 to 8% in the country at this point?
Yeah, they've been really, really good on offense all season. And what's happening with them now, because early in the season, people fought me about this, and I'm just going to tell you I'm right. Early in the season, they weren't really very good on defense. At times, they were downright porous. What they've been able to do is they're communicating better on that side of the court. I talked about this in 10 Thoughts. They're drawing charges, which, as Kermit Davis, I asked him about this, and he said, yeah, you know, we don't have a rim protector. There's no Bigby Williams or Gafford on this team, a guy who just swats shots away. So they're having to play, get your heels outside of the arc, draw a charge, make teams think about that, make teams get less aggressive. And then the big thing they're doing, and man, they did it a lot against Missouri, is they're creating turnovers, and they're turning those turnovers into transition points. And as they do that, it's obviously helping them rise as an offensive club, and it's turning defense into offense, which is what really good teams do. And this team's, like I said, man, this team's improving. I mean, they're getting better. They're getting better beyond the mental stuff and the confidence and all of that. They're getting better, and that is first and foremost, it's a credit to Kermit Davis and his staff. They've just done an incredible job. And it's also a credit to the freshmen are starting to get some experience. And you look at, like, the other night. I mean, this isn't a knock on Brian Tyree or Terrence Davis or Devontae Shuler, but, you know, Devontae had a nice night. He went 12 points, 3 assists in 35 minutes. It's a good game. Terrence Davis went 9 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, 3 steals in 37 minutes. It's a really solid game, but he didn't put up 20-something like, you know, sometimes he's apt to do. And then Brian Tyree just played 37 minutes, had 14 points, 6 of those from the free throw line, had a couple of rebounds, 3 assists, had a steal. But, you know, that's – so put my math skills to work here. It's 26 plus 9. 35 of their 75 points come from their triumvirate of guards. Earlier in the season, that would not have resulted in a win. But now they got, you know, 6 from Dom. They got the 17 from Stevens, 14 from Buffen, 3 from Henson. So they're getting points in other places. And, frankly, it's just kind of changing their team. And on a day when Missouri shot, you know, Missouri shot 47% from the floor, 47% from the three-point line. But what Ole Miss did to win the game was they forced 25 turnovers, and it resulted in Ole Miss won points off turnovers 32-12. That's where the game was won. Because Ole Miss got beat on the boards, got beat pretty handedly on the boards, especially in the first half, just kind of got popped. That's the reason Missouri stayed in the game. Otherwise, it's a 25-point halftime game, and the thing's over. Missouri beat them on the glass, I think by 16 for the game, and maybe about that in the first half. So that was a big part of it. They're just, this team finds ways to win. They have weaknesses. The weaknesses are personnel related. They're going to try to fix them in recruiting, obviously. But they're starting to play a lot smarter. They're playing with a lot more just overall confidence. And they're playing better basketball. They're really, you can see the communication improving on the defensive end, both in man and then they don't use the 1-3-1 probably, at least from my eyes, as much as Kermit would do it when he was at Middle Tennessee. This team uses it as a sort of a wild card at times, and they popped it late in the game against Missouri, and it really bothered them. They're fun to watch. They're a really interesting team because if Stevens, and look, this is critical, Stevens has to keep playing like this. But if Stevens keeps playing like this, they're going to have a shot in one of these big games at home against Tennessee or Kentucky, especially if they'll take care of business now, this week where there's nothing to lose, Chase. Those games turn into shots. Those games turn into to borderline free shots to really change your seating at home against one of those teams. And if Stevens plays well and one of those teams kind of comes in maybe a little flat or whatnot, and you look at their schedules coming up, both Kentucky and Tennessee have some showdowns. You know, Tennessee plays LSU on Saturday. They turn around and play Kentucky again pretty soon in Knoxville. You've got a chance to catch one of those teams on a little bit of a sleeper.
Yeah, you're catching Tennessee. It's actually interesting you say that. You're catching Tennessee just before the Kentucky game, and you're catching Kentucky just after.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, you play Arkansas on the same day Tennessee plays Kentucky in this middle of your Tennessee-Kentucky sandwich.
Yeah, both of those games are midweek games. That's right. Yeah, you got a chance. Who knows? And look, Arkansas is spiraling, and there's a lot of talk. I mentioned this in 10 Thoughts. I had a sort of a politically oriented tweet yesterday, which I think took away from 10 Thoughts. Arkansas, there's a lot of talk there about Kelvin Sampson really wanting that job. He's at Houston doing a – I don't know what Houston is in the net, Chase. They're really high. I mean, they're having a great year. The informed speculation in basketball circles is that Kelvin Sampson really wants the Arkansas job. And so I don't know what happens at Arkansas with Mike Anderson, but that team's not playing well. They did not play well the other night. They're 5-7 in the league now. They are in a year where for Arkansas, 10-8 probably would have gotten them into the tournament. In a year where for Arkansas, 9-9 might have flirted with the tournament. They are in real danger of playing their way completely out of the postseason and it getting ugly in Fayetteville. I mean, Ole Miss goes up there in 12 days, and I don't know what kind of a crowd there's going to be at Bud Walton that night. My guess is that day at noon, my guess is not a ton. They've lost the enthusiasm. That team is the opposite of Ole Miss. They play with no confidence at all when you watch them on television. How they won in Baton Rouge is beyond me. But they are a overtime win in Baton Rouge away from this thing, actually went overtime, a last second win in Baton Rouge away from this thing being a complete spiral for them. And I don't know their schedule right in front of me. Maybe you have it, but they could fall apart. That game could be a lot more winnable in 12 days than it is today, and I think it's really winnable today.
Yeah, we'll continue basketball conversation in 1 second. First, tell you about Scripted Jewelry, scriptedjewelry.com. When you go to the website, check out the link that says perfectly personable, what to use to get your order done. Lots of different ways there to take you through the whole process to put that special message on something for your special someone. Again, customized with Scripted Jewelry. It can be everything from a small note to fingerprints to much more. They've got frequently asked questions, sizing guides, lookbooks, even tell you what was recently purchased around the country with Scripted Jewelry. And when you check out, save some money. Use Rebels10, REBELS10, for 10% off with ScriptedJewelry.com.
A guest will join us this week on the Patterson & Earhart Hotline. Patterson & Earhart, attorneys at law. They specialize in personal injury law and real estate law, but theirs is a general practice that can handle any of your legal needs. When you contact Patterson & Earhart, you speak to one of the partners in the firm, and that too will handle your case, not some paralegal at a faceless corporate firm. If Patterson & Earhart can't help you, they'll refer you to someone who can. John Calvin Patterson and Wes Earhart are Ole Miss guys. They're local guys. And when you call them, you're going to get one of them on the phone within the same day, guaranteed. So whether you've been injured in a car wreck or have other legal issues, give them a call, 662-526-1992, or check out their website, pelaws.com. Your initial consultation is free. We're also brought to you by Home 2 Suites Oxford. It's just off Old Taylor Road. It's about a mile from campus. Be a great place for your to make as your home base for the 2019 football season. There's still some baseball weekends coming up that there's some availability. Double-decker weekend at the end of April. So a lot going on. Be a great place to stay. It's pet-friendly. You don't have to leave your four-legged friends behind. They have designated areas for walks that's complete with a pet station for your convenience. So follow them on social media. Get in touch with them. Home 2 Suites Oxford. They're also brought to you by Dead Soxy. Go to deadsoxy.com. Enter the code REBELGROVE at checkout. You get 30% off all items, including sales items. It's time to start. It doesn't feel like it today necessarily, but it's getting here. It's getting here soon. I saw pitchers and catchers have reported all over baseball. So the summer and the late spring is getting close. You want to get those showless socks ready to go in your wardrobe so that you can wear the loafers and things that you like without your foot sweating. And they would be perfect for that at Dead Soxy. They're bamboo. They stay cool. They stay in place. And they look very stylish. So go to deadsoxy.com. Enter promo code REBELGROVE at checkout and get 30% off all items, including sales items. My post-game observations and this from Saturday's game and this podcast, also sponsored by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi, represents clients in 24 states, has advisors in 3 states. It was founded in 1997. Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and so much more. At Pinnacle Trust, what they do is they sit down with you. They make decisions that are based off objective information and research, not emotions. And no matter what your level of wealth is or isn't, they'll sit down with you. They listen to your goals. What are your retirement plans? What are your expenses? What do your finances look like? And then they put together a retirement plan that's just for you. It's not some pre-made plan. It's one that's built just for you. I've seen it. It's fantastic. It really works. Go to pintrust.com, pinntrust.com, and mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast, and you'll get 10% off your first year's fee.
Podcast is brought to you by Blow Dry Bar Oxford. That is the Blow Dry Bar at gmail.com, 662-638-3310. They're on Jackson Avenue, 1801 Jackson Avenue. Best new business in Oxford for 2018. 10 to 6, Tuesday to Friday, Saturday 10 to 3. So you go into the weekends as well. Go in, get a gift card, purchase a blowout. You'll save money because they'll give you a rebelgrove.com discount. So mention the site, mention the podcast, and take advantage of all the different things they offer in addition to the blowout as well. Everything from keratin treatment, spray tans, to more. So again, Blow Dry Bar Oxford. And that number is 662-638-3310. Yeah, a couple things here. I'm going to get the schedule in a second. I'm going to look at some scores for the weekend, some different teams from a basketball standpoint. But I want to ask mention one thing, ask about another. You mentioned turnovers, and no doubt that didn't win the game. The other thing is that Ole Miss continues to be terrific from the free throw line. They are up to number 9 nationally in free throw percentage, 77.3%. Also getting a little fortunate, their opponent free throw percentage is only 226. Other teams are kind of missing some shots against them as well. But anyway, number 9 nationally in that. That was a big key for them on Saturday. And then this one, what's the reason for this? So looking at defensive percentages, three-point percentage, two-point percentage, they're not good against the three. Opponents are 36.8% against three-point range. That is 295 nationally. But from a two-point percentage, Ole Miss 37th nationally at 46.2%. Given their front court issues, I kind of found that interesting.
Give me the stat again.
Opponents shooting two-point field goals against Ole Miss, only hitting at 46%, which is 37th nationally for Ole Miss from a defensive standpoint.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's weird.
You'd have to just take a really deep dive into it, almost breakout film and such.
Yeah, I don't know. Against three, opponents have been really, really good. 295 nationally from a standpoint of Ole Miss defending that. But against two, 46%, 37th nationally.
Yeah, it's not a super long team. And so sometimes they can't close out the way that you want to close out on three-point shooters. And then sometimes, especially early in the season, they would just have kind of breakdowns because it's learning a new defense. And sometimes their communication would break down and you'd see guys just get wide open looks. You don't see as much of that lately. They're playing better on that end of the floor. It's far from a finished product, and it won't be a finished product this year. But I do think they're communicating better. They appear to – so much of defense is sort of played in a line, in a connected. When you move. It's not individual effort. It's you know, understanding switches, understanding what your strategy is on switches, understanding how you defend the pick and roll, making sure that everyone's on the same page and that the third person is there to play help. And earlier in the year, they would have pretty much multiple breakdowns on that stuff. And now the breakdowns are fewer and more far between. They still have them. Olenichuk is no more athletic today than he was 2 months ago. Stevens is never going to be, I don't think anyone's ever going to say, wow, Bruce Stevens, man, that's an elite defender. I just don't think that day's ever going to happen. But he's better at it. He's gotten better. Seems to be understanding some of the concepts more. And maybe that's part of it. Maybe they're defending the pick and roll better inside the paint and that kind of thing, and that's changing some of the two-point percentage. That'd be an early guess. I'd have to dive into that, and then I'd probably have to present that question in some educated way to someone on that staff and say, what do you think?
Looking at scores from Saturday, we mentioned that it was kind of an interesting day in the SEC, but for the most part, everybody just kind of held serve. You had the big premier game at night where Kentucky popped Tennessee at Rupp Arena, and Florida dismantled Alabama at Coleman Coliseum 71-53. But otherwise, everybody that kind of needed to win figured out a way to make that happen. Mississippi State goes to Arkansas and wins 77-67. LSU made a lot of Vegas people money because tons of people were on the Tigers -8. Georgia kept that thing close, 83-79 for LSU in Athens on Saturday. And then Ole Miss holds serve, Carolina holds serve against A&M, and Auburn found a way to go to Vanderbilt and win by 11. So you had the big game that night, but otherwise not a whole lot there other than Florida kind of really helping itself in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, Florida played really well. It was a big win for them. Alabama was awful. I watched a good bit of Texas A&M and South Carolina. I didn't intend to, but I turned it on, and it was entertaining, and it was close. A&M just didn't finish it. They didn't have enough to finish it, but they were in position multiple times to pull one off there. Of the four teams at the bottom, that's the one I would not want to play in Nashville. There's enough there for them to get hot and win a game. Carolina's okay. They're okay. How they're 8-4, I don't know. I have a feeling they don't know. they've just won some games, and Silva's a really good player. Ole Miss will have its hands full with Chris Silva. If they can handle him, as Chris Dort said in my story that ran on Friday, if Ole Miss can handle Silva, they're going to win the game. They play hard. They play really, really dialed-in defense. They're not an elite offensive team. But they win there. It's going to be – Ole Miss have its hands full, but that was a big win for them. And then everything else, like you said, sort of played to script. I saw a good bit of Auburn and Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt had a chance until the last – 3-4 minutes, and they just can't finish anybody. And Auburn got a big win. Jared Harper played well, and then like you said, Kentucky just popped Tennessee, just straight up punched them in the nose almost right out of the gate. And credit to them, they bounced back from a heartbreaking loss to LSU and got locked in on Tennessee and got them. And the top of the league is. Top of the league has three really good teams. Now Tennessee and LSU up at the top of it, and then Kentucky at 10-2. It's going to be an interesting – it's an interesting ride. Those three teams all have, depending on their draw, Final Four sort of capability. And then we talked about it a minute ago. It bears repeating for a team like Ole Miss. If they could win tomorrow and win Saturday – and get to 10-4, they'd have one hell of a shot, because South Carolina has to go to state on Saturday. They would have one hell of a shot of wrapping up that number 4 seed in Nashville at some point and not playing until Friday and winning a game on Friday and getting to the SEC semifinals on Saturday, which, Chase, would just be an unbelievable accomplishment. I think you did that piece that you do every year on New Year's Day about, 10 dates to watch. And I think you had the Thursday, I guess that's like March the 14th or something.
Yeah, I had them avoiding the Wednesday, obviously, and then on Thursday just get in that and maybe win one for whatever we were talking about at the moment.
Yeah, at that point, we were talking about just building the program. And
yeah.
you were talking about just be in that day. Don't play on Wednesday night, which means and they're not going to play on Wednesday night. This is quickly. I wrote about this in 10 Thoughts a little too. I mean, you can make one hell of a compelling argument for Will Wade for SEC Coach of the Year. You really can, and you can make one hell of a compelling argument for Barnes, and frankly, you can make one for Calipari, because this is one hell of a coaching job. But if they make the tournament, I'm voting for Kermit Davis. I covered this team last year. I know how bad this team was last year. I was in St. Louis for the SEC tournament last year. And, man, it's difficult for me. I wrote kind of – there's a handful of times I just sort of say to myself, wow, I can't believe that they've done this. And they haven't done anything yet. I mean, they're 8-4, and they're – if they don't win another game, they're not getting to the tournament. If they don't win but one more game, they're probably not getting to the tournament. They've got more work to do, but it's difficult for me to believe that as we sit here on February the 18th, we're actually talking basketball in the first two segments of the show. It's been a little while since we've done that.
Yeah, I mean, again, I've already went through KenPom just for the heck of it here before we transition out of this. Warren Nolan, they're doing their predictions as well now for the rest of the season. They have Tennessee finishing 16-2. LSU finishing 15-3, Kentucky finishing 15-3, and then Ole Miss snagging the 4 seed at 11-7, tied with Auburn. They think Auburn gets 11-7. Florida at 10-8 for the 6. Carolina at 10-8 for the 6. State at 10-8 for the 6, and then Arkansas down at 9-9. Arkansas would be a really weird team at 9-9, 18-13.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be enough. Their RPI would be 77.
It's not enough. The question would be, would they be firing the coach?
Yeah.
That was the question. I mean, a team like Arkansas, the NIT is not going to be solace in the event that they were to even get into it, and I don't know that would be enough. That won't save anybody's gig.
Just looking at this, and I don't have net for this on a projection standpoint. I've just got RPI, but it's got to be somewhere in the same stratosphere, I would think.
Yeah.
Florida, even at 10-8, their predicted RPI would be 59.
Their net as of yesterday, Chase, was 40, which is good. Like, Bama's at 45. And for me, the bubble.
I think 45 is too high.
For me, the bubble has always been about 31 to 60.
Okay.
And if you're on the – make 45, obviously, the meridian. If you're on the other side of that, you don't feel good. I mean, you feel queasy.
No, you really need some other metric that goes big time in your favor at that point.
Florida's got some strength of schedule advantages. They played a good schedule. That's going to help them. They got to win some games. That was why the game for them in Tuscaloosa was such a big win. This is what they did last year, right about this time. I mean, the truth is, right about this time last year, there were a lot of rumblings that, hey, Mike White's coming to Ole Miss. He's going to beat the posse in Gainesville and take the Ole Miss job. And that's why when, you know, people would talk about Mike and stuff, we would say, well, I mean, I don't think so, but I'm not ruling it out. And here they go again. Maybe the game Saturday for them was the start of something.
Yeah.
I keep going back to that game in Gainesville. Think about this for both teams. If that dude doesn't drop a 25-footer falling away to force overtime, Ole Miss is in absolute driver's seat right now for the four, and Florida would be 5-7 down there with Arkansas, and Florida would have some issues. I mean, they got issues now, but they'd really have issues.
Oh, they'd be done. I mean, no shot. Over.
I think you're right, because they're Ole Miss's net would be in the 20s. Ole Miss's net would be up with State right now. State, as of yesterday, was at 27. Ole Miss would be close to that. And Florida's net would be more like Alabama's right now in the mid to late 40s.
Yeah. Kind of get into this for a second. We'll take a break in a minute and then obviously get back into it. Ole Miss baseball, they split the two games with Wright State. Friday winning 10-1, Saturday losing 9-5, and then, again, getting washed out on Sunday. And you've been able to hear me talk about this a ton already, so we'll try to pick some different subject matter. If you want to get a little more minutiae into the baseball program, I did a video chat last night. You can find that on the site in YouTube form. It's on Twitch. It's in a lot of places. And then I've done the three outs videos after both games, the win and the loss on Friday and Saturday. But I was kind of critical of Ole Miss last night, and I'm sticking by that because, look, they're going to make this game up somewhere. They'll play 56 games. But it was just really kind of unnecessary. There was plenty of different ways to play a doubleheader on Saturday. Everybody knew the rain was coming in. And, yeah, you could be Pollyanna about the forecast and say, hey, you know, mid-morning there's this and there's this. But it was going to be a stretch because of just the persistent showers that we're going to get for basically a week now. And everybody else got it in. That was my point, is the area was not devastated where State couldn't get three in and Alabama couldn't get three in and whomever. State played a doubleheader on Saturday. And I know on Friday night there was at least talk. I don't know how far it got, but there was talk of doing a 12-5 doubleheader on Saturday around the basketball game, even if you didn't go straight through and potentially hurt basketball attendance. So it's just sort of a pain Ole Miss has to deal with now. They Wright State is a pretty good program. They were 69 in the RPI last year. They're going to be 50 to 80, something like that, in the RPI this year. Whoever you make it up with, probably not going to have that type of RPI. You're probably going to have to take a little bit of a schedule bomb to make up this game, because not only do you have to find a team to play, you got to find a team to play that doesn't already have 56 games, because there is a maximum number of games you can play in a season. So I think Ole Miss borrowed some difficulty by not just playing three games against Wright State. I thought that because they always get them in, I thought they were probably a little too cavalier with that. Again, not a huge deal, but just, I don't know, it just, for some reason, it sort of bugged me yesterday, and I had a little bit of a hard time getting over it for some dumb reason.
Did you think that they were just concerned about interfering with the basketball game? Was that the big part of the decision-making on Saturday? Because the weather forecast was pretty obvious that it was going to rain on Sunday.
Yeah, nobody told me that, but when there was talk of, hey, let's do 12-5, Ole Miss is not a school to do day-night doubleheaders. They just aren't. That's not their thing at all. I mean, Ole Miss, the whole time I've been covering them, I cannot remember a home doubleheader that wasn't just play, 45 minutes later, you play again. So, yeah, I think there was some concern, at least in some corners. I'm not saying Mike, I'm not saying the administration, I don't know who. But I do think in some corners there was the worry of, hey, basketball's kind of a big deal right now. Let's not make these two go head up with one another more than we have to. and let's figure out a way around it. And I think at the end of the day, they just gambled on, hey, the field drains, terrific. Let's play a little roulette and see what happens. And it ends up biting them on Sunday. So, you know, I don't know. I just thought that I thought it was very easy to get three games in, and they didn't do it. That's kind of what it comes down to, because they're going to get washed out most likely on Tuesday night. So you don't want to be 5 days into the season and already down two games.
They'll obviously be able to reschedule with Arkansas State.
Not a problem in the world. Yeah. No.
But I actually told you this yesterday. We were talking on the phone. I don't think the basketball attendance would have been hurt if they had just played it. And the reason is, the first game didn't end until the basketball game only had about 8-9 minutes left.
The break would have been fine to finish the basketball game.
Yeah, and the other thing was, the pavilion was warm. I wasn't out at Swayze, but I've been there before, and I looked at it, and it did not look warm.
Swayze was not warm on Saturday.
So I think people would have still would have gone to the basketball game who were planning to go to the basketball game. If anything, I think the nightcap crowd at baseball would have been bigger than it otherwise would have been, because the basketball game would have been over. And as we know, it's been documented, Ole Miss fans leave the basketball game when it's over. So they would have had to go somewhere.
So they might go back across campus again. You never know.
Well, it's conceivable that not all of them, obviously, but that some of them would have gone to a baseball game, at least for a little while, until their hands and feet completely froze, at which point they would find warmth. Because I was out and about on Saturday night, and the square was freaking packed. So there would have been people that would have gone and seen that the wait for dinner was 2.5-3 hours in places, and said, yeah, you know what, I'll go to the baseball game. And there's no doubt in my mind. So I don't know. As you said, it's not going to be –
it's not some huge deal that's altering the season. It was just sort of weird. I don't know.
Yeah. It was cold and it was wet. And looking at the radar and the forecast, I don't like their chances to get a baseball game tomorrow unless they're planning to play in a boat.
Yeah. Continue that in 1 second. We'll tell you about MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, MasterCutsLawn.com, 662-607-7773. Shoot them. An email also at info@gomastercuts.com to get a free quote on whatever it is you're looking for, whether it's just annual maintenance all through the year, them taking care of your weed eating and edging and mowing and all those things, or flower bed repair. They're doing some of that for me this week. The rain's kind of messing with that as well. But we're going to get it done this week. They'll build structures, they'll build playgrounds, and more. That's MasterCuts, 662-607-7773.
I'll be putting up a request for mailbag questions later in the day. That mailbag will be brought to you by the Westin Jackson. Restore serenity to your soul. Visit Soul Spots, the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson, Mississippi. Indulge in personalized massages, signature facials, soothing body treatments, and much more on their extensive spa list. Escape from the everyday and rejuvenate yourself in their luxury spa today. And then gather at Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro, sip on a creative craft cocktail, or enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's mission is to connect guests with the community through local partnerships, so gather at Estelle tonight. Podcast also brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you've been thinking about that golf trip with the guys this summer, or maybe an anniversary trip that she'll never forget, whether you're dreaming of playing at St. Andrews or sitting at a cafe in Paris, talk to John Edwards before you try to do it yourself. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. So whatever you're thinking about, Pebble Beach, Napa, whatever it may be, get in touch with John, give him some parameters, give him a budget, and let him give you some options. You don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. It's 901-494-3387, or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the Oxford Exxon podcast or at rebelgrove.com. and you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
Podcast is brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. They're getting local underwriting and understands your market. A leader in condo financing and the float down option. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com. So otherwise, look, Friday night they played well. Will Etheridge was terrific. I mentioned this last night. I thought that his management of the game was what impressed me the most. He has a 29-pitch first inning. 10 of those extra pitches were because of his own error. And Wright State just sort of fought a lot of stuff off. I mean, you know, you see Wright State in a uniform and somebody not familiar with college baseball. I made this comparison. It would be like playing a really good Missouri Valley team. They're good. They're not great, but they will pop you if you allow them to. They were top 10 in the country in runs scored last year. They've got a good offense. They've got a potential All-American in Peyton Burdick. And they sort of made Etheridge work early, and he steadied himself. He ends up leaving in the sixth with a blister on his finger. I don't think it's a problem moving forward. I think just had a blister and then the water and the rain and stuff, and they said, hey, let's get him out of here and not make this a thing. But he gets into the sixth inning at only 68 pitches after having a 29-pitch first. So I thought managing was really the thing that impressed me with him. And it's what Zach Phillips didn't do on Saturday. You know, you have the error to basically lead off the game with a ground ball to shortstop that Greg Kessinger throws wide at first base. And I think it sort of freaked Phillips out. And then a run scores when he kind of commits his own error, which is more of a mental error than a physical error. And instead of getting into a rhythm and getting into a little bit of a comfort zone in your first ever start, for a JUCO kid, you might be JUCO, but it's still your first start at this level. I just think he got rattled. I think it freaked him out. I think he left the ball over the plate after that. And a little bit of a learning experience, because the big thing for him moving forward, he's going to get more shots on the weekend. They're not going to take him out after one start. It was just one start. Is you've got to manage it. You've got to manage your misses. You've got to find a way to minimize damage, and he'll learn from it. But that was the key. What Etheridge did on Friday, Phillips did not do on Saturday. So we'll see how it moves forward. Offensively, they looked great on Friday night. They looked horrific for four or five innings on Saturday. Just terrible. Now they fought back. They got the tying run to the plate late in the game. Credit to them for that. They're a good offensive team, but they allowed a little left-hander that was good but not great to really carve them up for four or five innings. So I think they'll probably ought to focus on a little bit with that. But again, it's baseball. It's 30 degrees outside. It's week one. Let's avoid the sweeping assertions after a couple games. But anyway, that's where it is. They're 1-1. They're fine. They'll go to Tulane. Tulane's 3-0. They swept George Washington this past weekend, winning 2 one-run games and then 10 running them on either Saturday or Sunday when they played their finale. So that was the baseball thing for the weekend. I don't really have a whole lot else, but that was the takeaways that I did have. Cooper Johnson had a heck of a week, by the way. He really hit the ball on Friday night, was only a triple shy of the cycle, played really good defense. So that's a good sign for Ole Miss. He needs to be good, and he certainly was. And then Thomas Dillard was terrific offensively as well. Max Schoepfe was good on the mound. So you can read about it. You can listen to it. I've done tons of baseball content. But that's where we are as of now.
So are you saying it's a little too early to fire anyone?
I probably wouldn't fire anyone yet. I'd probably wait at least a week, maybe two.
Two whole weeks?
Is that bad?
Well, yeah, it's ridiculous. Everyone knows you win the pennant in February. Everyone. I don't know why you are in such denial. I really don't get it.
Weren't the Reds like 18-4 or something at one point last year?
Well, I don't know if it was quite 18-4, but I mean, they were really good and they won the pennant.
They won the pennant? The April pennant?
They won the April pennant.
Okay.
April champs.
Were you shocked is not the right word. I'm never shocked anymore. Really. I'm just not. were you at all surprised that beer showers became such a topic over the weekend? I mean, to the point that one home run celebration triggers an entire fan base to the point that the university spokesman and the athletic director feel the need to make public comments on the matter.
You know, I'm not from Mississippi. I've lived here a long time. I'm not from Mississippi. I sometimes do not completely grasp all of the dynamics of the state. And that's not an insult. You know exactly where I'm coming from with my heart here. You've known me for a long time.
Mississippi is the biggest small town in America.
Yes. It's the biggest small town in America.
Everyone knows everyone. Everyone understands the nuances of every situation.
So they build this cathedral for college baseball there.
Hell of a facility.
It's really nice. It's really nice. Credit to them. I mean, and they, like Ole Miss, have the fan base slash fan base interest to support it. And they open their season on Friday night, the same way Ole Miss did, Arkansas, Alabama, I'm presuming most everyone. And kid hits a home run for state.
He does.
And some kids throw their beverages into the air.
They did.
How that's not a, quote, part of who we are, I don't even know what the hell that means. I mean, obviously, look, and this is no knock at Ole Miss because the beer showers thing has become a big deal, and it got attention on MLB Network the other day when with the rush to get on the – I mean, Mike and Ole Miss have done a great job of turning Ole Miss baseball into a really big deal. And kids have fun out there, and when someone hits a home run, I think Keenan
hit one on his first at-bat on Friday night.
Hit one on Friday afternoon, and the beer went flying into the air, and God, it had to be cold when that beer was landing on people. But regardless, they had fun, and college is supposed to be fun. And
they found a way to make that celebration synonymous with them. Credit to them.
Yeah, and they're not the first team or school in the world to have beer thrown in the air as a celebratory thing of something happening, and they won't be the last. And so it's not exclusive to Ole Miss. Ole Miss has made it, as you said, synonymous with them, but Ole Miss does not have a patent on, hey, we hit a home run, let's throw beer into the air. That's not going to ever exclusively belong to them, nor should it. So when Mississippi State does it, a handful of kids do it. Are you going to get some of the, oh, they're copying us stuff? Sure. But again, Ole Miss does not own exclusivity rights to celebrating with beverages. That's they're never going to get that. I don't think they've ever sought that.
Wish you could. That'd be a hell of a licensing deal.
Well, that would be awesome. You'd get rich. You'd get so damn rich. But I don't think it's going to happen. I don't like the chances. Some players say, I don't like that. Okay, maybe you're taking yourself a little too seriously at that point. But for it to turn into something where Sid Salter has to say something and John Cohen has to say something about that's not what our identity is. Okay, I always wonder when people do these statements, do you really think about what you're kind of saying? Because what you're saying is our identity is that we are serious about this baseball.
Well, but no, I mean, that's the thing is to be public administration statements, it's some of the dumber things I've ever seen. I mean, I don't know Sid Salter, but every time he makes a statement, you know, the PR guy for the university spokesman or whatever, that's supposed to be a very mundane thing where you're just kind of putting some stuff out. He comes off like a jackass every time he makes any statement. And it's the strangest thing for that position, A. And then B, just think about what all's going on around you. Again, you're celebrating this whole deal. You're having a big weekend. Credit to you. But you make that same statement on the same day. Or you make that statement on the same day that the viral video going around is not the beer showers, but two people being intimate in the lofts above the field during pregame? I mean, so that's part of our identity, but this and isn't?
Did they never see that coming? Because I saw that coming the very first time that I saw those lofts up there. I said, someone is going.
Who can't close a curtain?
Well, I think
it's a whole other conversation, I guess, isn't it?
But weren't they kind of out on the balcony?
Oh, I thought it was just in the room with the open glass or windows or whatnot.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I that's a whole other topic for another day. But on
John
that,
Cohen, who I actually like, under his tenure, his team also wore batting practice jerseys that cussed out Ole Miss on the jersey.
Yeah.
Like, let's not do the whole glass house thing here a little bit, guys. Let's look around a little.
And the thing that pushes you over the top is some kids celebrating their team's home run with throwing a beer in the air.
Yeah,
that's what gets you upset. Some kids just having fun.
Well, and A, it wasn't the whole crowd, and B, it just let it go, and it wouldn't have been a thing. State didn't do that every time there was a home run hitting the left field lounge. They're not suddenly going to do it just because the tractors and the trucks and all the equipment's gone from the area.
I had no problem with some of the players saying, hey, I don't like that.
That's cool. That's fine.
It's kind of how you kill it.
I'm cool with Wes Ray making an opinion, former player.
Yeah, that's fine. Certainly. But then after that, man, you got to let some of that go because you just had a high draft choice not invited to the draft because he beat the out of a woman. I mean, you're having some weird looks, like you said. The I presume it was a couple in upstairs at the loft, enjoying one another's company. And
assuming that was a couple college kids, you know, at some point the father or whomever actually bought the loft like makes a phone call and goes, could you be dumber?
Yeah,
because now it's going to be, hey, look up, that was the loft.
Who lives in that loft? Yeah, exactly. It's somebody had a start of a good weekend,
uh-huh,
and it didn't end well. That's my guess. I don't know, I just thought it was kind of tone deaf, but you come across as, we don't like fun. We don't like fun. And come on, man. I mean, look. Ole Miss wins on Friday. It loses on Saturday. All jokes aside, it's not going to mean much at the end of the year. It really doesn't. So Friday was fun. They went out there Saturday. I assume someone hit a home run and they sprayed beer again. Because I think, didn't Dillard hit a big one?
He did, yeah.
And, you know, so people threw their beer in the air. I mean, there are people that go to the games. I know this is newsflash, apparently, to people in Starkville. There are people that go to the games just to have fun. It's not because of the game. They go to have fun with their friends at the game. There are people, I promise you, in the right field seats at right field section at Ole Miss, who, if you froze time in the fifth inning on Friday and said, what's the score? I don't know. I'm here to have fun. And there's not a damn thing wrong with that. It's sports. They're supposed to be fun. It just, when you start legislating or saying, well, we're not going to have fun, this is serious. Okay. Now you've kind of lost me at that point.
But it didn't matter. There would have been no problem with them doing that were it not the one thing Ole Miss kind of does.
Absolutely. They're
no issue whatsoever.
No, they're completely hung up on it. And again, I don't even... Yeah, I mean, Ole Miss was going to have some fun with it, but at the end of the day, like I said, and I've said this two or three times now, and I'm not trying to be condescending to Ole Miss at all, so if I'm coming across that way, please forgive me, I'm not trying to, but Ole Miss doesn't have any exclusivity to celebrating an athletic achievement with throwing beer in the air. I'm sure it happens at other places. I'm sure it happened someplace before it ever happened at Swayze. It's sports, man. Have fun.
Yeah, there was a way to just go, hey, let's not do that. Do anything else, let's not do that. Cool? All right, cool.
Or, and I know this is novel, hey, was it fun? Yeah, it was fun. Okay, well, then do it again if you want to. If you don't, don't. And if it turns into something, great. And if it doesn't, great. And then maybe if it turns into something.
I don't think, but my point being, I wouldn't promote it. I'm not going to take my rival school's thing and promote it as, hey, let's start doing this.
Oh, of course not. But if something happens organically, it happens organically. And if it doesn't, and it probably wouldn't have.
Well, no, that was my whole point, is that it was a very small section of people on one occasion. Just ignore it.
It was like three people.
It'll be all right.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, well, apparently a lot of folks.
Well, boy, I tell you, I underestimate the rivalry on a regular basis, and I think I give it more credit than I do, because like my tweet yesterday at Tate Reeves was not school related. My tweet at Tate Reeves yesterday was journalism related. It was politics related. It was I thought the misprint, the error at the Clarion Ledger, and look, it's unfortunate. And those of us who've ever worked in newspapers understand that the writers don't write the headlines. And now it's even changed even more. Because now the Clarion Ledger, which is on its deathbed, it's got it's terminal. There's no fixing it. The paper, when it gets made, it's made on the computer and it's sent off to a hub where they do the headlines and stuff, because the Clarion Ledger doesn't have enough editorial staff to do all of that.
Yeah, it's such a skeleton staff now that Nashville does the design for the Clarion Ledger.
So some cat in Nashville, sitting there on a Saturday afternoon, probably half checked out, probably doing five papers in different places in the country, just got confused. Got the Mississippi schools confused. It's not the first time. It won't be the last time. And a mistake was made. It wasn't caught. Happens. And it gets printed. And, of course, people immediately start off against Horka. And I don't like the kid, but I'll defend him here. That wasn't his role.
He didn't know it till he saw it, just like the rest of us.
Yeah, and he should have just left it alone. Bless his heart in that case. And then people start in with, you know, what does it mean? Well, it means a mistake. And so Tate Reeves says, this is why Mississippians don't trust journalists. You giant dumbass. You're going to pick that? You're going to pick that to make your fight about an entire...
Am I giving him too much credit in thinking he just saw low-hanging fruit and he actually knew the truth, but he thought it would fire up the idiots that are in his... Not that his entire base is idiots, but the idiots in his base?
Based on looking at the rest of his Twitter feed, I do think he took the low-hanging fruit in large part because I think that's the only fruit he can ever reach.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm not struck by his intelligence.
Okay.
On a week where you really revealed just how much of a problem you have as a state right now competing, you decide to take a shot at an entire industry, really? No, Tate. I hate to break it to you. The Mississippians who don't trust journalism, it has nothing to do with a misprint about a baseball dedication. Because let's face it, no harm, no foul. I mean, nobody got hurt with that. Nobody was misled. That was clearly an accident. Clearly a mistake. I'm sure you've never committed a mistake, right, Tate, when you asked for the road to your neighborhood be paid for by tax dollars. I'm sure that was just an error. I thought it was over the top in many ways. And look, I'm not a pro-journalism guy. I don't just blindly defend journalism. I think journalism deserves to be criticized. I think journalism has done a lot of things that have cost it as an industry the public trust. There's no question about that. There's a lot of bias. On Friday, I'll give you an example, Chase. On Friday evening, I turned the TV on. I was in here by myself. Laura had taken Caroline somewhere. Carson was out in the hood. Campbell was, she's never here anyway. And so it was just me, and I was in my office, and I had turned on CNN. And something was breaking about the Russia investigation, the Mueller thing, and all that stuff. And I flipped from it to Fox News just to see, hey, what's the juxtaposition? And they were hung up on the Smollett thing, the what appears to be a generated racial incident that really didn't happen. That was all that. So my point was, man, we're living like you, if one person was watching Fox News and another person was watching CNN, we would think we live in two different countries. I mean, you would never know that this is the same. These people are probably a mile away from one another, reporting on the same country. And I'm not excusing either one of them. I'm not saying either one's right or either one's wrong. I don't have any idea. But the point is that there is bias. There are agendas. If you want to attack journalism on that, great. But you're going to attack journalism on a stupid mistake that was clearly made by some cat in Nashville who really couldn't tell you which one is the University of Mississippi and which one's Mississippi State and where they are and which one's what. And they should they have gotten it right and fixed it? Yes. Is it completely understandable given the state of Gannett how that happened? Yep.
Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by G&M Pharmacy there on South Lamar in Oxford, 662-236-2222. You know, you can transfer your medication over very simply just by calling the number and telling them you want to do it. They'll take care of the rest. Vote them Oxford's best pharmacy in the Oxford Eagle Best of Oxford competition. You can do that online at oxfordeagle.com/best of Oxford. And they also now offer all those different compound creams that can help you with multiple things at once: nausea and vomiting, skin conditions, erectile dysfunction, and more. They also deliver to your home or workplace. and offer MedSync to keep you on schedule. Again, GNM Pharmacy, 662-236-2222.
Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry's the sponsor of my 10 Weekend Thoughts. Might have to stop and drink some water here. I've got a little throat issue. Harry's the sponsor of my 10 Weekend Thoughts. They're up on rebelgrove.com. Lots of Ole Miss basketball. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you are looking for, and then send him an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. And with Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Podcast also brought to you by Visit Oxford. Visit oxfordms.com/events to see everything going on in town, from library shows to Thacker Mountain productions to much, much more, including the sports calendar with baseball and basketball and everything else going on at Ole Miss and Oxford. You got lots of links for the spring, including Thacker Mountain Radio, Oxford Conference for the Book, Double Decker Arts Festival not too far away, and the spring run. You also just get contact information and a list of all the restaurants, hotels, and businesses for when you head into Oxford. So visit oxfordms.com/events. Let's see, kind of finishing up here. A lot of stuff at rebelgrove.com. Again, got a lot of videos, baseball-related, got several analysis content things from a baseball standpoint. Neil's 10 thoughts, almost all basketball yesterday, as well as your observations following the game. I saw a couple of videos of Kermit, maybe a player as well. So kind of everything all over the place. And then the one thing, just kind of noticed this, Neil, on this date in 01 was the day Dale Earnhardt died.
I remember that day.
Yeah. Just caught me off guard there for a second, 18 years ago.
One of those days you remember, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was headed to baseball practice, I guess, when I first heard about it. Thing because I wasn't watching live.
Yeah, I wasn't watching live. I actually didn't hear about it until Laura and I were meeting my brother Ryan's wife, Kim. We were meeting her dad in like Biloxi just to have dinner or something, say hello. And I guess we'd gotten into the restaurant. We were at the bar, we were there a little early, and they kept there was no volume on. It kept showing Dale Earnhardt. I was like, what the deal? And somebody told me he died. I was like, oh, my God. I didn't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, I had to go back and find it. The Tommy Prater stories that he's told on the podcast multiple times are just terrific in that area.
Yeah, Tommy was right there.
Yeah.
Saw him being taken out and put into the ambulance, and Tommy knew right away it was really bad.
Yeah. Crazy.
Think that sports ever really recovered? Like yesterday they had the Daytona 500, and that used to be a monumentally big day in sports, even for people who weren't race car people. They would keep up with the 500, and I don't think it resonates as it once did.
No, nowhere to that level. So also we kind of buried this. Tyrone Nix, the absolute front runner for the assistant coach job left over by Jason Jones, with him being relieved of his duties early last week. They were looking for an outside linebacker, kind of a pass rush specialist in this 3-4 scheme. And Tyrone Nix, the former Ole Miss defensive coordinator, has emerged as the clear favorite there. A lot of red tape, some HR involved, but it is possible that gets announced by the end of the week. We'll monitor and we'll let you know at rebelgrove.com as it continues. But anyway, that probably also is the last staff change other than John Miller's retiring as director of ops. But from an on-field standpoint, I think that is probably it, and it looks like Tyrone Nix's job as we move forward. So more podcasts throughout the week as we come up, and then we'll have coverage of everything going on at rebelgrove.com. Baseball probably getting washed out, but if not, we'll have coverage of that, and then Tulane this weekend. See you tomorrow.